In the studio with us today, this morning, we've got Peggy Chabrian. She's involved with Women in Aviation. And right next to her, call sign Rags, is Jill Long, military pilot as well as air show pilot. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Jill, according to the information that you just gave me, you fly KC-135s as well as A-10s.
I used to, yes.
Okay, everybody knows about the, you know, the KC-135 military tanker variant of the Boeing 707. Boring, unless you're out of gas. I mean, you're flying essentially.
You just like really pissed off a lot of tanker pilots.
Let me tell you what. All right, let me clarify that. I got halfway through that and I got shot down by the A-10. I was going to say flying a tanker is kind of boring unless you're low on gas, in which case, oh, thank you. You're praising the gods of aviation for putting that tanker right where you need it. However, the definitely the more intense ride is the A-10 Thunderbolt II, the Warthog, the world's ugliest airplane, especially if you happen to be on the wrong end of it. What's it like to fly an A-10 and pull the trigger?
Shooting the gun, the thing that stuck out to me wasn't really the vibration or the bullets. I mean, none of that. It was the smell.
Really?
It just creates this wonderful smell in the cockpit.
Does it smell like fireworks after they've gone off?
Not really. It's its own unique smell. I think it's a cordite, and it just is an amazing smell in the cockpit that you just like, oh. This is so cool. My mom cringes when I tell that.
Sorry, Mom. I was going to say, I've been to a live fire demonstration at Warren Grove, New Jersey, where they brought F-16s and A-10s in. The F-16 with its 20-millimeter cannon, it just went rip. Okay. Then they brought the A-10 around. Now, you're standing on a 100-foot tower, and the pilot taps the trigger on that thing, and you're up there going, ay. What is it like for the pilot in this air? I imagine, from the fact that I'm getting almost blown off the tower from a quarter mile away, what's it like in the cockpit of this airplane when you tap in that trigger?
It really, the only thing you feel is a bit of a vibration, and that's it. You'll hear the gun a little bit through the headset and the helmet, but it's not as loud as you'd think.
Does the recoil of the gun actually slow the plane down?
No.
It's not that bad.
Have you
been in combat with this, correct?
Yes.
How many missions and where?
Afghanistan, and I don't know the exact number of missions.
It's
somewhere around 50.
That's a lot of combat. So you've been out there fighting the Taliban then?
Yes.
Giving it back to them. Good. It's got to be a very intense airplane to fly when you're in combat because, you know, obviously you're pretty well armored in this airplane with the titanium tub and everything. Do you ever worry about ground fire when you're coming in on a target?
Not in an A-10. not in this conflict. Just the weapons the enemy has been using. You don't even really have to think about it, or at least we didn't when I was flying. And it's been several years, because right now I'm stationed at Aviano as an air support operations squadron, and I work with the Joint Tactical Air Controllers, who are the guys on the ground calling in the weapons, A-10s, F-16s, you name it, to put the actual bomb on the appropriate target. And that's what I'm doing now.
Well, the A-10 is capable of carrying a wide variety of weapons. Obviously, it was designed around that 30-millimeter multi-barrel cannon, which is impressive in itself, but it's also capable of carrying, I believe, laser-guided, GPS-guided, you know, all kinds of smart weaponry, as well as, like, Hellfire missiles, personal favorite of mine, as well as the standard dumb bombs and stuff. Do you have to go through a lot of training for the weapons management? Are there different styles of approaches that you would use during an attack scenario with different weapons?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just a matter of what the target is and how you're, you know, what you have on board. You pair it up appropriately. Quite honestly, the A-10 demo pilot, I believe, is here. I've seen two A-10s flying around, and it brings a tear to my eye every time I see them take off. But those guys are more recent and could probably give you better answers on, you know, the new tactics, because everything, we're always learning, and everything changes given the difference in the enemy, how they're fighting the war, and So you change your tactics based on that. And I've been out of the airplane for, like I said, several years, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
I know. But at least I have a Pitts now, and I can go upside down.
Well, you can do that with an A-10, too, but the Pitts doesn't have the gun.
That's true. When people ask me which airplane I like best, I ask them, are you shooting at me or not?
I was going to say that the Pitts probably weighs as much as the gun.
They're probably not at Oshkosh. You wouldn't want the gun shooting at people.
In reality, if it was loaded with blanks, that would be very impressive display, you know, flames and smoke and everybody falling down all around just from the noise. It is a very impressive mm-hmm. weapon, and I've seen armored equipment that they've used for targets, and it will take just about anything you can build and literally cut it in half. And if you happen to be the bad guy, well, you know, too bad. If it saves the lives of our American men and service women, heck, I'll load the thing for you. I don't have a problem with that. So now you've graduated from a workhorse, a war environment, and now you're flying a Pitts.
I know. I love it.
It's got to be completely different style of flying.
It is. And one of the things I like the most about it is it's all about what I want to do. Where in the military, it's very structured and, you know, you have to fly exactly how they want you to fly. Where with the Pitts, I can, you know, walk out and say, you know what, I'm just going to go tool around today and, you know, fly down the river. And it's just so much fun. It's very, very liberating, I guess.
What was the transition like when you first got the Pitts? What was the transition from the A-10 to the Pitts like?
Again, it's such different flying that it's hard to compare. I just like the fact that it handles very, very similar in the fact that it's very responsive, does everything you ask it to do, whether you intended for it to do that or not.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, it's got to be a more responsive airplane. Obviously, it's got a better roll rate. It's, you know, it's easier to loop and everything. But what about landing it? You know, there's a big difference between an A-10 and a Pitts. Was that the one that gave you the gray hair?
I don't have gray hair.
Well, if you keep flying a Pitts long enough, you probably will.
The landings in the Pitts are a little more challenging. The A-10's pretty easy to land.
That's pretty wild. Wait a minute, we got another Pitts driver in the studio here, I think. Well, we always hear horror stories about how much of a handful a Pitts specialist, a personal experience at the Baraboudelles Air Show. We had extreme windy conditions for Sunday, and we had one of our pilots who was flying a Pitts. He decided to stay on the ground. We had gusts in excess of 25 knots, direct crosswind. And he was saying, oh, I could get out there and fly it, but I'm going to kill the airplane just taxiing it. Has that ever been a problem for you?
My very first air show, we had crosswinds of 20 gusts to 25.
There you go.
I had to tell the air show producer that I couldn't fly because I hadn't flown in that kind of crosswind and definitely not going to try that at an air show for the first time. And that was tough. You know, your very first air show to say, thanks for inviting me, but I can't perform today.
Well, you know, once again, that's a safety issue, and it's one of those
Absolutely.
Things where the pilot has the last say, and if the air show promoter doesn't like it, well, what would you rather have? A pilot safe on the ground, or would you rather make the evening news in a very bad way? And you'll find that most of your air show promoters will understand, and they will say, "All right, well, this is better than making the news." Yeah. And did you ever go through any kind of a training? Anybody take you up in a 2-seat Pitts and say, "Here, try this"?
Oh yes, I've done a lot of aerobatic training with people that in preparation for doing the air shows. And every chance I get to fly with someone who's experienced or have someone experienced on the ground watching it, it helps. And that you can't pass up that. And that's one of the things that Women in Aviation has helped with is building those connections to find those people to help you out and to get your experience level up by, you know, meeting people who have been there and done that.
That's very good. You're going to be at Theater in the Woods. When is that scheduled?
Peggy.
The Women in Aviation panel is tomorrow night, Friday night, at the Theater in the Woods, and Jill is one of the panelists for tomorrow.
Okay, and you'll also be in the Friday Air Show as well.
Yes.
That's great. We're talking to Peggy Chabrian and Jill Long, call sign Rags. I love that call sign.